morning, friends. We're in the midst of a series called Come and See. And what we do as a church after Easter is that we walk through series that are going to be critical and are important to who we are and the culture that we're building. And this is not only at Pine Lake, but this is something that is embedded in the kingdom of God. And so this series is called Come and See. And what we are talking about is this culture of invitation that we are part of and that we want to see build as not an exclusive group, but one that is welcoming just as much as Jesus welcomed others. And so as disciples of Jesus, we pattern our lives after Jesus, and that for us as disciples at Pine Lake, we have a rhythm of our discipleship, and it's threefold. It's to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did. And so this morning, we're going to talk about this invitation that is embedded in the kingdom, embedded here in Pine Lake, that we want to see further, is this invitation to community. And as I was thinking of, like, how do we as a church talk about community that is unique and different? What does the kingdom have to offer around community that isn't in other places? And one of the best ways that I saw was 3 years ago around today, we were moving into our home here in Sammamish. And we had 2 weeks to get it ready. Because, you know, once you move into a house, the things that you can't do rise exponentially. Like, you can't paint ceilings in kids' room while all their stuff is there. You can't paint walls. You can't redo. So we had to, like, level floors, paint all the walls, paint the ceilings. And we had 2 weeks to do it. And one of the things that I was like, oh, how do I do this? Well, the first thing that I did was I got on the phone and called all my friends, some of you included. So there are people that came from 5 minutes. There are people that came from 2 hours away. And people showed up, some that I knew and then some that I didn't know. Some that were brought by other people. And it was this place where all of a sudden you would think that I am spending tens of thousands of dollars on this huge crew. And what you didn't know, it was friends and strangers. And so these people showed up with a ton of energy and commitment and left with pain meds. Back pain meds for those elderly, you know, just some nicks. And then those, you know, who were people that came, a lot of them were in this room. And the thing is, this is the type of community that happened in Acts chapter 2. What we don't often see is that people were both in the neighborhood who was there at Act 2, and then there was people that came from villages far and wide. So they had come to this place in Acts chapter 2, and the church of Jesus was launched, both with people that are far away, and they were invited into community. And that we believe, and we want to talk about this morning, is that community forms through union and flourishes through invitation. So if you want to join me in Acts chapter 2, we're going to be reading this text. We'll jump in and out of it. But if you have your Bible, whether it's physical or digital, I encourage you to have it with you and in front of you. And so this is Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. It says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone that had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved. Would you join me in prayer as we prepare to hear God's word? Father, we take a moment to prepare, to realize that you are here in this room, that we want you, and we need you. Holy Spirit, would you give us eyes to see you? Would you give us ears to hear you, a mind to know you, and a heart to receive you? We ask this in your name. Amen. I want to catch you up a little bit about this culture of invitation that is embedded not only in the kingdom but within Pine Lake. Is that we started in this idea that there is a power of invitation, that you and I are here not because of coincidence, but because someone invited you. Someone or the Holy Spirit, I know that some of you, I heard your story, just driving by this place and did a U-turn and just said, I don't know why I'm here, but I'm here. And now years later, you are still here. That's the same thing for all of us, that we once, as Gentiles, were now invited in. That everything that happens in the church and the body of Christ is done because there is an invitation to you and I to be part of the family and community of God. But not only that, in last week we talked about that we have a cultural invitation to grow. One of the things that I was thinking about this last week, was challenged on at the end of the service, was instead of this place where I use a word competition that I think needs to be changed to comparison. That when we're invited to grow, that shame and comparison on where you are compared to somebody else in the kingdom of God is pushed aside, is cast out, is excommunicated from the community, because we know that we're all on a journey and we're all invited in our different places and spaces where we are with who Jesus is, who we are as disciples, and we seek to grow together. There's an invitation embedded in God's people, especially here at Pine Lakes. Says, we don't care where you are on the journey. We want to travel with you. And then lastly, as we talk about this week, is invited into community. What does it look like to be invited into community? Not just people that just show up on Sunday, but share something deeper. Because we believe that community, that common union, creates shared lives. You might ask the question, who are these people that showed up? And why would they show up? Because people don't just show up because you asked them to. Let's be honest. Think about all the time that you've asked somebody to do something, to go somewhere, to hang out, and the answer was no. The reality is that just because you ask doesn't always mean they show up. Sometimes they do, and this is incredible. As my grandfather said, you know, a dollar a day and all you can eat doesn't get people to show up. When we were outside in the West Texas prairies ranching cattle, people don't show up for a dollar a day and all you can eat. They show up because they have a shared interest in who you are and what you're doing. That there is this deep connection. And this is what happens that those 2 weeks, is that floors weren't just laid so that I could say thank you and leave. Those floors that were laid, those same people that were laying them, have now come in and walked amongst them. People who painted walls and trim and ceilings didn't just say thank you, we'll see you later. They came back. They sat in those rooms. They prayed, they cried, they ate together. This is the thing about shared lives. Is that it isn't a transaction anymore. It isn't you come do for me and I'll say thank you. It is this place where I'm going to ask you and invite you to come alongside to see the best and the worst parts of me. As we share one another's burdens, as we participate and helping one another in ways that are both very common and extraordinary. And this is what the word koinonia means. That in the word we're going to look at in a minute, it says fellowship. That fellowship, koinonia, is not a very lacking word. It is not one that says that it's just a Sunday morning fellowship. That this fellowship was deep. It wasn't just about what you could do for you, but what you could do with you. The text says there, therefore they were if there's any encouragement to being united in Christ, if any comfort shared from his love, any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, may then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility value others better than yourselves. Do not look on your own interests, but the interests of others. In this text, embedded is the word that's embedded in our right at the beginning of our text this morning. It says they devoted. That same devotion that you saw, let there be common unity in the spirit. Don't think of yourself higher than others. There was this devotion that was deep. It was a loving commitment to show up in the good and the bad, when it's easy and when it's hard. They devoted themselves to being with one another. They were committed to one another. Because that fellowship, that koinonia, isn't a shallow connection. It isn't just friendliness in the lobby. It isn't just saying hi and hello and how are you? I'm good, when really you're just dying inside. It's not being around the same people at the same time. How many times have you gone to a place, and I think of all the grad parties right now, and you're just in the same room, but you're just there. You're existing. Koinonia doesn't mean sharing services, but sharing lives. The reality that we have this union with God because we've been invited in, that we share our, that Jesus shared his life with us, sends the Holy Spirit to share a life with us, to be embodied, to be living inside us. There is a shared life that happens. A deep well which you pull from, that will pull you from isolation, pull you from individualism. But that union, that common union of shared life, is also in the kingdom of God, in the people of God, is shared mission. Shared mission. See, one of the things that I thought was really interesting is that when people came, they came early and they stayed late. One of the things about being a good neighbor is when you have quiet hours, you respect them, right? Nobody likes when, like, it's quiet hours, especially when you get a rigid 40-year-old person. They're like, ugh, stop revving your cars. Push it. Turn it off. Push it. Please, be respectful. Or my neighbor who woke up at 6:30 a.m., started his lawnmower, and I was like, I have a six-month-old. You're ruining my life. But when we had people came over, the fact is that 9 o'clock came on, and it was like alarms went off, and all the power tools turned off. We switched hammers to quiet mallets. The mission wasn't just like, oh, the bell rang, and then it's like work, and I'm out. Because you know those people, when 5 o'clock hits, they're like out of the office. Boom! Ready to go. Or they're just like 30 minutes before, they're like, okay, I got to go to the bathroom for 15 minutes, and then I'm going to go to the water fountain for 5, then I'm going to stop by and shuffle some papers. These people not only were committed to sharing lives, they would say, hey, come along, I'll feed you, I'll pay you $1 a day, but they came early and they stayed late. We were shutting the place down at midnight because we knew we had a goal in mind. We were committed to seeing this through. Not to doing it 90% of the way. Not to doing it 95% of the way. We had people the day that we were moving in still laying last pieces of flooring, shooting in trim all around the house. Because it wasn't like, oh, it's move-in day. You know, here you go, Austin. You just get to finish the rest. Committed to seeing it through. They had a vested interest not only in lives, but in mission. And this is what we see in the church. This is what happens when the community of God takes the invitation, accepts it, and buys in not only to the relationships, but into the mission. Every day in the text, it says they were devoted themselves to the teaching and fellowship. And it keeps going on that they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions. I want to say about this, because often this is used and sometimes you can feel uneasy when we talk about this part. When they talk about every day they were meeting in homes, that every day they were gathering for worship, what you didn't know is that you signed it today, we'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. here for service again. Nor when you're like, oh man, they sold everything. This isn't a commentary on our lives that we have to do the exact same thing, that it's not prescriptive. It's prescriptive. We want to be descriptive. This means they were all in. What does that look like for you and I to be all in? They were all in on Jesus and responding to the good news that Peter had just preached and proclaimed. And so they became and gave their lives to Jesus. That they were all in, that they came the next day and they wanted to hear more apostles' teaching. They wanted to share more in the communion of the bread and the cup. They wanted to share in the relationships of going into each other's homes and to continue to build these lives. Tell me more about who you are and tell me more about this Jesus. It wasn't that a prescriptive saying that if you were going to be this community, you had to do exactly what everybody else did. It wasn't creating poverty among the church, but it meant that everybody was all in. All in. They were all in to Jesus because when they looked at him, they saw a Jesus that wasn't just partially concerned about them, partially loving, partially grace-filled, partially patient with them, that was fully patient, fully loving, fully accepting. And they matched him in the mission of saying, I'm not partly in Jesus, I'm all in. I'm going to leave my boat and my business and I'm all in with you. Whatever this means, it means we're all in. Every day, they sold property praising God meant they were all in. They were all in at the temple. And at PLCC, when we talk about being that community and a mission and being part of it, it means being all in the different parts. It means you have a vested interest in what happens in this little slice of the kingdom here in Sammamish, Washington, that we are committed to the way of Jesus, that for 45 years this church has existed, and we hope that it continues to exist for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, not just because of like our hands are off the wheel and just saying, Jesus, I hope you make it, but we have a vested interest in what happens here at Pine Lake on 228 in this community for those in the ways that it's changed over the last 45 years and the places it will change in the next 25 years. That we have a vested interest, that we don't just say, ooh, I don't like the way it looks out there, so can we sell this building and move to a place that we like? We have a vested interest in what happens here in the mission of Pine Lake Covenant in the kingdom of God, that we're not on the bench, but we're in the game. And this is why we're all in on what happens at Tuesday nights down at Pine Lake Youth. This is why we're all in on partnering with missionaries around the world while also having organizations that we partner with to feed and pack meals for kids, to walk for water so that those don't have to walk 6 kilometers to get clean water, that they don't have to say, I don't have the energy for it, so I'm going to drink this dirty, nasty water. This is why we partner with groups like Young Life Capernaum, whose mission is to love all kids, to have a place for all people, that God loves them just the way they are. This is why in missions we partner with these organizations that are committed, that are all into the way of the kingdom and not just serving themselves. This is why at Pine Lake Kids, you see downstairs that people are come invested in here, building kids, handing resources to you as parents to help you disciple your kids, to become lifelong followers of Jesus. This is why we're also always committed to asking you, inviting in you to be a part of different groups, whether that's small groups, whether that's growth groups, whether that is community groups, that we invite you in, like MomCo, to say, moms have a place here. We are all in as a church. And this is what happens. And this is what I believe is not just inherent about the unique character of Pine Lake, but it's the character of the kingdom. I'm going to say this. This is my greatest fear as coming a pastor. I grew up in a church that was lovely. It was my second family. Pastor planted the church, spent 2 decades there, and he left, and half the church left with him. Because there wasn't a common shared mission. It was only rooted in a person. My love, and I know that speaking for Pastor Kyle and Pastor Becca, that our goal and our desire is that there's such a deep commitment to Pine Lake and the community here and the kingdom here in Sammamish, that whether we are here for another 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, that you aren't determined on how much you are all in, is determined by who's on the stage. That's the secret sauce of the church. It's held together not by whoever holds the mantle, but as one who is king over this entire world. And the question I have for you today, and for me, as we process, and my encouragement, as we build this culture of invitation that is clearly not only defined as a purpose that we are walking towards, but becomes ingrained and integrated deep into our lives, is an invitation to say, let community draw us deeper together and send us wider. And friends, that deeper shared life, in the same way that Jesus invited you into a relationship with Jesus, and we saw and see in Scripture where some people come and say, Jesus, let me bury my father first. And he said there's a cost to discipleship. And that some of us are really bought in on the mission, but do not have shared lives. Mission without shared life is empty. Mission. Shared mission without shared life is emptiness. It leads to bitterness. It leads to resentment. It leads to you doing and not being. It lends to you saying, hey, look at all am I doing, but while I do it alone. Some of us have been so accepting and so willing to say yes to the mission of the kingdom of God and saying no to the invitation that is given to you by not only the Spirit, but by the church to say, come deeper. Come and find shared life. That in the busyness, if you want to be with me, then come over to my house. Help me just do life by. Watch my toddlers, my preteens, our teenagers, our colleges. I'm running around. I'm mom and dad Uber. Do you just want to be my passenger so that I'm not alone the whole time? I wonder how many of us in life, if we're honest, I'm going to say that if we're honest, that whether we're introverted or extroverted, that having people just sharing life with us would make it so much better. That instead of having an empty table, you have a full table. Instead of driving around in a minivan with 8 seats and only 1 passenger, you fill the bus. I think so many of us, we come to church and we come to communities with a deep longing. I'm just going to make a social commentary on the rise of community groups that are seeking to answer the problem that the church needs to be answering. And I want to say that we need to be leading, but we can't lead if we don't say yes into community. And if people aren't saying yes into community with us, if we're not sharing that invitation to deeper life and community, that's when they go into spaces like MySpace. Kids, you don't get that. It's all right. That's when they go to X, Discord, Facebook, Instagram, Snap, TikTok. They're seeking something that they can't find, and they're trying to find it. But the commitment to those communities is so fragile. The moment you say something, you've been excommunicated. And sometimes I think we bring that to the church. Is that we believe if we say something, or if we hide behind the mask, if we take them off, then we too will just see a representation of what the world views as community represented here. And I'm not saying that Pine Lake is uniquely different and that doesn't happen at all. Because if I did, I'd be lying. Or you're here from other places where you brought that with you. But the thing is about discipleship and the thing about being a church and committed to the way of Jesus is we're not going to get this right. We're going to be aiming at the center and we're going to be missing bottom left and bottom right. We're going to be missing off the board as my son likes to throw darts and it hits in the drywall. And the facilities team comes in and says, hey, who's this? That's my son. But that's okay. I would rather be aiming at the center and missing and allowing that the forgiveness and the grace and the mercy and the commitment to rise up to the top and be an invitation to what community really is. And if the reason that you are not deeper into community because you're afraid that none of that's going to rise up, what I want to say to you is to have courage to be deeper invested relationally. There are no lone wolves. in the kingdom. So they don't call us wolves. They call us sheep. We're communal. I encourage you that there are people in here that are so waiting to be in community with you. And there's so many people that want to be in community with you. All it means is saying, yes, we're offering the invitation. And in the same way, if you flip the coin, that shared life without shared mission has no purpose. One of the things that is beautiful about the church, beautiful what we want to be committed to, is that we don't want to just have shared life together. We want to see how far this thing can go. Because I don't know about you, I want more baptism Sundays than less. I want more confirmation Sundays than less. I want more senior Sundays where grads are taking up 90% of the time. Because not only do they find a place where they find relationship and deep community and deep commitment, but they find people that are committed to them. They're committed to developing them as disciples of Jesus, to walking this road together, to be shared in the mission of, I want to see your character and integrity grow. I want to see you be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do what Jesus did. Not just as a byproduct where Austin can say, hey, look at this. We baptized hundreds of people. I don't care what happens on Sunday mornings. I care what happens on Monday when I text you and say, hey, you want to get together for Bible study? Yes. Yes. Because I want to see more life in Christ happen. I want to see more kids coming downstairs. I want to find the unique problems where the kingdom is growing, adding to numbers daily, not because we're unique and better than anybody else, but because we are saying yes to the mission of shared life and shared mission together. That it's not just some that are all in, but we are all in. This is the church. And maybe as you close your eyes, I want to invite you to close your eyes and just think about this. To imagine and vision. Imagine a church where lonely people find family. Imagine a church where new believers find formation and depth. Imagine a church where hurting people find prayer and concern. Imagine a church where outsiders find welcome. Imagine a church where generosity meets real needs. Imagine a church where the life we share together becomes an invitation to the world. That is the church. That is koinonia. That is fellowship. Holy Spirit, you have been here and you have been speaking. Where have you been inviting us? Holy Spirit, would you push away the shame that is trying to creep in and saying, look how many times you said no. Holy Spirit, would you let us look at how many times Jesus is saying, come and see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Holy Spirit, where are you inviting us this morning to deeper shared life? Those that need a friend, a table, a ride. Someone to sit with them in the doctor's office. Holy Spirit, where are you inviting us to see what God is doing and to join Him there? Holy Spirit, we are all in. We ask this in your name. Amen.